Alaska's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer for It's Your Money and Your Life. And we're coming to you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And time to introduce my co-host and main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He is a family office advisor to several high net worth families. He is a marathon runner and very accomplished. And he is a Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable Core member. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight from this wonderful venue?
Oh, I'm doing marvelous. This is much nicer digs than the KFMB studio. No offense to KFMB.
Hey, we could do it here every week, huh? Every day.
We'd probably wear a welcome out.
But. Tonight's show is very special, and it's a very ambitious show. We've got a lot. We usually have one guest per show, but tonight we're going to try to go for eight or possibly nine. And tonight's show is very special. We're coming to you from the elegant home of Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac and Bill Lirac, who is hosting this fantastic fourth annual Very Good Night Dinner. Michelle owns and operates Cups. It's an organic cupcake store in downtown La Jolla. Many of you know it. And she previously was a partner in the nation's largest plaintiff's law firm and of counsel. She's currently engaged in a number of pro bono legal projects and working with Liberia, trying to help out on their constitution. She's worked in Haiti. She's a philanthropist. And tonight we're just honored to be able to come to you live from Rancho La Jolla in the beautiful area of La Jolla Farms, and as she hosts this farm-to-table event with some of the biggest names in food activism and chefs and farmers in San Diego County. So, Michelle, thank you and good evening. How are you tonight?
Well, welcome. I got to say, it's nice having you broadcast here in our living room.
Yeah, no, we're among your artifacts and your museum.
These chairs are more comfortable than your studio chair.
I know this is your second time on the show, so yeah. but our first time. Now, tonight, tell us about what tonight's all about.
So this is called A Berry Good Night, and it's because we have a lot of berries that we grow here at our home garden, which is kind of a farm, but really a big garden. And so it started when I really wanted to invite all of the people who are part of the sustainable food environment here in San Diego. So that's the farmers, the ranchers, the purveyors, the chefs, the food activists. Bring them to one dinner. It's all collaborative. I mean, the chefs are volunteering. The farmers bring the produce. They turn it into something magical. And we all sit and we talk about why sustainability matters, which
how
is something
many chefs?
We're all...
It's like 21 chefs.
Well,
right?
This year I think we have 21. It's funny. It's a little smaller than last year because last year we peaked at 13 courses, which is, as I said, like a food marathon. It's too much. But it's because, you know, what happened is this is 4 years old, and Scott, who's here with me today, he's been here at all four. The first one, we had maybe 30 farms, 75 people. It was a little more casual, but each year it grows because those who are part of this movement really want to come and participate in this event because this event is about them and for them, and we're all doing great things individually. We have incredible farms. We have more organic farms in San Diego County than anywhere in the state. We have incredible chefs on this side of the border and across in Mexico in this region, really doing things that marvel that are on par with what's happening in New York and San Francisco and beyond. But everyone's working individually. And my thought was, let's all come together. Let's sit down around the dinner table and talk and figure out how we can make this a real collaborative, cohesive movement.
And a lot of it's a great networking event, right? Because after every course, everyone gets up and moves to another table, and everyone gets to meet everybody,
well,
right?
Well, you know, it's gotten to the point where we have about 200 people. So, yeah, we ask everyone to change, you know, grab your cup and your fork and move between each course so that you can meet as many people as possible. So on a micro level, I'm really happy when a chef works with a new beef producer, for example, and later on it becomes his client. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like that's a success for the evening. And on a macro level, if people who are doing similar work toward a similar goal. That is better food for all of us and better prices. I mean, that's what we're here about. It's it's not, you know, rocket science. We're talking about better food for everyone in this country.
Look at the way these farmers markets have blown up. I mean, how many dozen? I mean, it seems like
over 30 now.
Really?
In San Diego County.
Really? Michelle, why don't you introduce your other guest there for this segment of the show here?
Well, there's so much about Scott. I don't know if I can say all of it myself, but Scott is a farmer. He's an activist. He is on, what's the board that you're on locally? I'll get the name wrong.
Mission Resource Conservation District. So I'm an elected official of a special district.
He's been at this 32 years only, you know.
Keep it coming, Scott. You got a lot more there. He's got a longer CV than me.
Well, and the beautiful thing is that Michelle is a gathering point of building community in our essential industry that's essential to the future of San Diego County's economy. I mean, you guys are here. You're the money show. And agriculture is 25% of San Diego's economy, but it's the most underinvested part that we have. And the food community, those are the people that make the difference. Mm-hmm. And bringing them together is what builds the strength and gives us a future.
Well, it's your money and your life. Tonight is definitely more about the life part, but obviously...
Yeah, we're talking about a form of wealth that isn't money. Right. Much more important,
but it is both.
Money.
I think he's right. You know, that's...
No. So, Scott, you're an expert in preservation strategies using what are called smart growth principles. Can you tell our listeners what smart growth principles are as it relates to farming?
Well, one of the biggest challenges for American farmland is development. We've been losing about 1 million acres a year to development. And many times we find that development and farming can actually be done side by side. Larger developments have discovered that they can't get the zoning to break it up into little tiny lots, so they put agricultural zones mixed into a project. Smart growth gives the opportunity to blend resources together and to make a difference in the design of a community. Now we visualize the agriculture as part of the zoning of the community, much like happens in Europe or Italy, for example, where a community has a growth barrier and they grow up in the city, but the farmland is the most valuable asset that they have. That's their future. So they reserve it and preserve it and take care of it.
Now, this corn that we've been seeing in the major supermarkets, that's $2 or $3 for a dollar sitting in the bins, they don't market GMO, but I've been afraid to buy that unless it's marked organic. Now, what's your opinion on that?
Well, if you're buying organic, you have a very high percentage reliability. We are not allowed to use genetically modified organisms, and that's finite. It's a rule. If you're buying in the supermarket, right now most of the genetic modification has gone into what we call feed corns or flint corns. There are a couple of sweet corn varieties, but the conventional breeding has improved those so much. They're growing this corn we're getting right now out in the Imperial Valley. They start planting it in January, and they're able to grow very fast season corn and get it into our marketplace. It's a miracle of modern agriculture. But we do need to be wary about what's in our food that we don't know. I'm an advocate for labeling.
Well, I think most Americans, the majority, the numbers show the majority of people
85%
are.
85% of people are in favor of labeling until the misinformation campaign began.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You know, people do what, I mean, I think if you ask anyone, do you want to know what it is you're eating, or do you want to have the choice of deciding about whether to eat a certain food or not? Everyone says, you know, yes, of course.
And then countries like China and these.
Yeah, we're in the minority when it comes to not labeling by far.
Well, and other countries have made choices that are getting us in trouble now with our exports, because they don't want to take our wheat because the you know, a genetic test that was going on got away up in Oregon, and that wheat got back into the food supply because it's very powerful genetics, so it crossbreeds into the food supply. So we do have to be very careful because we really don't know the long-term effects.
Yeah. Now, Scott, you're also helping out with the youth and training them in some sustainable farming as well, right?
You know, our future is the youth. Right now, the average age of an American farmer is 59.7. So for every farmer under 25, there's 5 over 75. We need to develop new farmers. The U.S. Department of Labor in 2009 said 40% of the new jobs in the United States would be in agriculture in the next 20 years. But they won't be in big conventional agriculture because it's moving away. It's getting bigger, more automated, less manpower. we're bringing the family farm back. Mm-hmm. It's viable to farm close to the cities where the market is right now, especially with increasing costs of fuel.
And what's the number of farms in Santa Cruz? I think I saw 4,000. Is that sound?
No, it's actually closer to 10,000. We're the number one county in the nation for small farms.
Yeah.
And isn't that amazing?
We're about seventh in the nation for total value of our farming, and most people don't even see the agriculture in San Diego County. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give you this little anecdote on the point of young farmers. So this year, we invited some future Farmer of America kids to bring their prize-winning pigs and goats and turkeys here to this event. And they're in my backyard currently. But I got to tell you, so just tonight, one of these young kids found a buyer for his pig and one of the chefs that's here. So,
this is
like on the micro level what it's all about. But these are kids who are farming sustainably, and we wanted to encourage them. We like the way they're doing, you know, what they're doing. And it's great to bring them to an event like this where they can meet the
people. First time you've done this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 4-H club. It's like the Del Mar Fair. Little mini
Del Mar. We have a petting zoo back there. You can actually go back there and milk a goat.
Sorry about that.
And the key is that those young people are our future, and also teaching them food literacy. We have to reawaken in them the importance of what they eat is how they live.
So, Scott, you were behind the restoration of the 250-acre project at San Pasquale Academy. What was behind doing that? Because I know that property sat dormant for many, many years.
Well, and then the county bought it. They originally wanted to build a juvenile hall there.
Okay.
The community said that's out of proportion with an agricultural zone. So they created a very innovative project, a boarding high school for foster teens, and they put that on the campus, and they made a promise to the community that they would return farming to this historic farm site. So I got the opportunity to create that project for the county. It was a 5-year project. We now have a successfully operating farm on the site. Students are trained in the classes that we developed. Food literacy is kind of the foundation of what they learn, but they also learn vocational and job skills, which are very challenging in the world of foster kids.
And they have a marketable product. Is it Dragon Organics?
Dragon Organics. Right,
they were here at the Berry Dinner last year.
Oh,
I think they're fantastic. You know, you can buy their produce.
And their CSA sells to several hundred county employees, which is the perfect affinity group. They deliver right to county office buildings around the county, and then they sell into other markets like Whole Foods.
Scott, some of our listeners don't know what CSA means. Could you describe that briefly?
Well, a CSA is what we call community-supported agriculture. And in essence, customers buy a quarterly share or an annual share of the farm's production. And they ride the roller coaster of farming with the farmer. If we have a really abundant year, their shares are very abundant. If we have a very challenging year, their shares shrink. But they are investing in the future of farming and quality food for their families.
And I want to say from the consumer side, because I've been on the consumer side of this, and at my store, we teach classes and showing people how to use everything that's in the basket, because you don't get to choose. Mm-hmm. It's what's, you know, in season. But at the end of the day, my experience has been that the produce is fresher and less expensive than what you could get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting incredibly good, incredibly local, very affordable food. And it, you know, he may say that there's ups and downs, but I have yet to see a down that makes the food in the bag more expensive than what they'd pay at the grocery.
Oh, I think that we deliver incredible value. We run the small CSA, and we're expanding it this year as we're expanding our farming. And people are excited to be involved in seeing the farmer eye to eye. That's why farmers markets are doing so well. Mm-hmm. You can actually go, and I encourage people, if you meet a farmer or you go to the farmer's market, make sure and give them a hug and tell them you appreciate what they're doing, because if they go away, like, we're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. And the prices are pretty good at farmer's market. Stuff I've been able to buy, it's and it's great. Anyway, we've got a break coming up, folks. Michelle, thanks for doing this. Get over to berrygoodnight.com, folks. Thank you, Scott. We're going to have more guests, so stick around for more of It's Your Money and Your Life and Your Food. Coming back after this. All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life and Your Food tonight. We're coming to you from the 4th annual Berry Goodnight Dinner on the wonderful 6-acre Rancho La Jolla up here in La Jolla Farms, the home of Bill and Michelle Lirak. And for this segment, and we're back with Richard Musio, and for this segment, we're going to focus on seafood. And we have two of the premier authorities on that subject. And one is the executive chef and owner of Terra American Bistro and Terra Catering and Shalom Kosher Catering and Buns Restaurant. His name is Jeff Rossman. Good evening, Jeff. How you doing?
How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. And our other guest is the public relations Operations and Marketing Director of Catalina Offshore Products, and his name is Tommy Gomes. Tommy, how are you tonight?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going great.
We're doing great, thanks. Yeah. Isn't this a great setting for a radio show?
It's awesome.
This is killer.
I'm staring at the ocean going, why did I throw my surfboard in the back of the car when I came here?
Yeah, you got the hang gliders going by. And yeah, very cool.
Michelle only has like 200 people at a sit-down dinner in her backyard, and we're sitting inside and amongst the elaborate indigenous and primitive art collection in this museum. I mean, it's just, you know, died and went to heaven. Yeah. I'm going to stick around for the bacon eggs, I think. So. Anyway, let's talk seafood, you guys. You have a question first, Richard?
Well, no, Jeff, you do a lot with regards to trying to reduce childhood obesity, which is actually an interest that my foundation, the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, has.
Nice.
Can you tell us what got you interested in that?
You know, I've been working on it for, maybe 8-10 years now. You know, the interesting thing was, I have kids. We all have kids, usually, most of us. About 10 years ago, there was a woman that came to my restaurant when we were in Hillcrest, and she came, shook my hand and said, this is, great food. I'd love to get you involved in our garden project. I said, well, what's that? She said, well, we're doing a garden project at a school over here in on the 15 and University. I said, well, I don't usually travel over there, but so what we make a long story short, I got involved with our garden project, got involved with some things that they were doing over there. And this was before the whole childhood obesity initiative started. And, one thing led to another, and we were doing some really fun things with the kids and making dressings and trying to change school food. And now there's a childhood obesity initiative. I wrote a cookbook a couple years ago about local farms and trying to change school food. And just last week, actually, thanks for asking about that, I'm working with the Lemon Grove School District now because my restaurant, Terra Bistro, is over on 71st and El Cajon. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know the area, just up the hill from DZ Aikens. And so Lemon Grove is just over the hill, just over University and over the hill to the 94, and I go over there. And so what we did is we did some really cool fish tacos. We rented a grill, and I was over there for 500 people by myself grilling fish tacos. And, the kids loved it. And so that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to do now is to try and change school food. I know a lot of the farmers that are out here, outside the Staleys, they provide a lot of produce for the schools. So it's a big movement that we've been trying to go in a direction. A lot of people that want to do the good thing, the right thing. It's just a matter of the meeting of the minds and getting everything together for this.
Raising the consciousness.
Yeah. Well, Staley Farms has been huge. They have a they participate in a program called Farms to Schools. They've collaborated with my foundation to help schools at Oceanside plant their own vegetable gardens. In fact, my good buddy Neil Staley, who's not in the family business, his brothers run the farm. Neil's an employee benefits guy, a longtime friend, great family. But, I think it's imperative because type 2 diabetes in this country for kids is basically a self-induced epidemic.
You know what really got me going was when I started back there, Central Elementary off the 15. Mm-hmm. I went there one day when I first started 8 years ago, and there was a kid there. I kid you not. He was in fifth grade. He was 150 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? There's something we got to do. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Now, Catalina does some collaborative stuff with chefs. What do you guys do over there, Tommy? Tell us about that.
About 4 years ago, we started a program called Collaboration Kitchen, where we have the chefs throughout the city. Chef Brossman has been heavily involved in the program and other programs that I do for children. And we raise money for underprivileged children, and we donate it directly to the schools, whether it be Monarch or King Chavez Elementary School or Senior High School. And with the stipulation of, we don't buy bicycles and basketballs and stuff, but what we do want is we want to make sure that the children get the proper education materials that they need. And we also teach children how to eat right, because there's no such thing as cheap food. And don't be fast, don't be easy, don't be cheap, and don't be fake when it comes to your food. We got enough people like that in our lives, and we just want to push on a good, healthy lifestyle for children. And that's why we get a hold of chefs like Chef Rossman and some of my other close friends. We're friends more than anything, but we've all come together to help these kids.
What can you tell us about sustainability in seafood? Because there's a challenge going on there. Haven't we wiped out 90% of the large fish over the last 50 years? And where's that going? Are we making a dent in trying to turn that around?
Well, there's no question that as far as the commercial fishing goes on a worldwide basis, we have gone too big, too fast, too soon. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to hide with our new electronics and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a fifth-generation commercial fisherman. My family's been in San Diego for over 100 years. We were the very beginning of the tuna fleet. And I was lucky enough to fish all over the world. I have multiple awards, and I was lucky enough to fish and work with Jacques Cousteau. Yes, we are. We have gone too big, too fast, too soon. And what's a shame is that the American fishermen are the ones that, if you're flying the stars and stripes on your vessel, you are the one that's doing all the right thing. You are the one that's following the rules and regulations. We are the ones that are bringing out the government observers. We're keeping tabs on everything. We have satellite communication systems on board the boat so that the Fish and Wildlife or National Marine Fisheries knows where we're at all the time so that we're not doing the wrong thing. And the sad part about it is over 85% of our seafood consumed in this country is imported from countries that don't have any rules and regulations, and that includes the FDA not even inspecting that seafood that's coming in. 97% of that foreign fish is not inspected by the FDA, and that's the stuff that we're eating. So I'm very passionate on this, and I'm very passionate on who actually gets to buy my fish. I don't sell farmed fish, and Jeff is laughing because he knows. I just don't sell to anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't sell farmed shrimp. I don't sell farmed tilapia. I don't sell stuff like that. A lot of seafood is gas-treated with CO2 to retain the color, and it's super cheap. And there's no such thing as cheap food, period. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay with it in your health. Mm-hmm. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to educate people. And at Catalina, I just opened up a seafood nutritional information center where we have chefs come in on Fridays and Saturdays, and during the week when guys like Jeff come in to pick up their fish, they'll go over and they'll cook for the customers that are there, because mm-hmm. the customers ask, hey, how do you cook this fish? Well, here, let me get a piece and show you. And mm-hmm. so that's what we're doing. We're just trying to educate.
That is great. We've got to take a break, though, right now, Tommy. And, Jeff, it's so great to have you. CatalinaOP.com and TerraSD.com. Check it out, folks. And they got to get back to the berry dinner. Stick around. We'll be back with more after
Thanks,
this.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. All right, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money, Your Life, and over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you to our sponsors, UBS, Mr. Michael Carrancho and Drew Freedies. I can actually see their office building from where I'm sitting up here on the bluff in La Jolla. Also, just down the street, the ranch office of Regents Bank with Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. We're in the neighborhood, you guys. Everybody's closed on Saturday. Cost Segregation Initiatives and Joel Greshkin helping real estate owners improve their real estate cash flow, our favorite CPAs on the planet, Pluto Epic CPAs, best estate planning attorney in town, Rich Gaines, his great company, Family Legacy Legal, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, best CFO company on the planet, and our great friend, Mr. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. Thank you all. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about our great sponsors?
Well, fire up your PC, smartphone, or whatever you're using and get over to iymoney.com. Click on sponsors. All their personal information is there, their contact information. They're all good friends of Richard. He's been collaborating with them for many years. They're not just sponsors. They're friends and they're professional colleagues, correct?
I added up how many years of experience we all had together. It's over 200. What a depressing thought.
Oh, my gosh.
We're old.
Anyway, for this segment, we're going to transition from seafood into farming a little bit, but we've got two incredible guests for this segment. One is the owner and chef of Andrew Spurgeon. His name is Andrew Spurgeon. He's called the Sultan of Sustainability from my notes here. Welcome, Andrew. How are you tonight?
A pleasure to be here. I don't know where the Sultan came from, but I'll take it.
It's good PR, good PR.
And then, Sultan it is.
Yes, and then also we have Jack Ford, no relation to the former president, right?
No relation.
But Jack is a farmer. He owns Taj Farms in Valley Center, California, and it's a farm-to-table farm specializing in biodynamic livestock and poultry, which we'll find out a little bit more about that. But how are you guys doing tonight?
Fit as a fiddle and right as rain.
So let's see. If apparently there are more small farms here than any other city in the U.S., and
every county in the U.S., John.
In any county in the U.S., excuse me. Well, it says city. Well,
whatever.
Probably both. But
not a lot of farms in the city. They're mostly in the county.
There is now a farm in East Village.
So I know there is.
Is that, yeah, Smart Farm. Yeah.
So how do you guys figure in the whole sustainability and food movement and your work? You want to talk about what you've been doing career-wise and what you're doing now? We'll start with Jack.
Our farm that we've taken to the public, we've been doing for the last 4 years. I grew up in the same area that I live now in Valley Center, in a rural community, always involved in livestock in the community, and whether it be in 4-H or just as a gentleman farmer, raising food for our family and extended family and friends.
Mm-hmm. So what is biodynamic livestock? Our listeners probably don't know that term.
We have all pasture raised, all biodynamic is the...
It's delicious.
Is the default for organic. They are all natural. There's no intervention. You know, our lambs, we don't dock tails or... all of our animals, we use no antibiotics, no hormones. They are... And we live in a desert, so we don't have grass-fed animals, mm-hmm. but we do grow oat hay. And there's other resources we work with Lightning Brewery, who is a local beer. Mm-hmm. We also utilize their spent grain. And pasture, we do have Bermuda and clover. We're lucky to have a farm that has the benefit of water. We don't have to rely upon that, so...
We're in a pretty fortunate region of the country, of the world, wouldn't you say, as far as for farming climate and everything else?
We have a year-round farming climate as opposed to like a two-season growing.
Not to mention the lush gardens that surround us in this beautiful estate that we're sitting upon this evening. It's just an incredible experience. So, but
I think, yeah, we're most certainly blessed. I mean, one of the things that just struck me is the amount of the variety of produce that's produced here. There's over mm-hmm. 250 types of things grown in our county. We have more organic farms in our county than anywhere else in the United States.
You know, we got to do better PR. I mean, that should be on 60 Minutes, for God's sakes. Now, you know, we know that.
It should be on the front page of Preferred.
Yeah, it should be on the front page.
I'll bet you maybe 5% of the San Diego population might even know that.
Hopefully 5% are listening right now. And then we can double it.
Well, we'll get the podcast around, too. We get a lot of podcast listeners.
We have a lot of listeners, so.
Yeah, a lot of influential listeners,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, most of them eat pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's for darn sure.
So, even tonight, which was a perfect example of what we put together here at Michelle Larac's home, and, you know, with the berry dinner, we teamed up. You know, I teamed up with Jack, and I used his milk to make the goat cheese that we served this evening, and and everything on that plate, you know, came from here in San Diego.
The blueberries came from the Staleys, which are our, mm-hmm. so really that course was really grown within a mile of each other.
Yeah, very, very close.
Yeah, folks, if you go on the berrygoodnight.com website, you'll see the you'll see all the chefs, and I don't know if the menu's on there, but
I don't know if the menu is, but I've got a copy of the menu. It's really impressive.
Well, they can go to our website and see that.
Right, the menu's up on our website at iymoney.com.
Yeah, I mean, there's 12 courses this year or something like that?
I think there's 10 seated, and then there was quite a few stations beforehand. We actually did, again, as Jack said, everything on that plate. We did a Meyer lemon and orange blossom gelée, and then we did another gelée with local blueberries suspended in maple syrup gelée, and then the goat cheese that we made with his milk, 2 days ago.
Huh.
And some Santa Barbara pistachios, which are absolutely amazing. So nice and simple, but good.
So you both collaborated on one course tonight, but that's that.
Yeah, his livestock and my plate.
Wow, that's
but fun.
So I'm getting hungry just sitting here because
nobody's fed you yet.
No,
that is unfair.
Well, I was allowed to pick berries.
Well, so
for you.
Well, we'll
send some food over away.
We'll go scavenging after the show, Richard. Don't worry about that. We'll find something out there. Not to worry. But
the party will be with the chefs after
exactly.
the dinner.
Now, this is the fourth annual. Have you been here for all four? Or is this?
I've been. It's funny because Michelle has been kind enough to invite me, and I've always been working, so I came last year and this year as well.
Wow, that's great.
I mean, it's a great event.
How about
truly.
You, Jack?
This is our second year participating.
But you want to come back, don't you? Right? I
mean. Oh, yes. I'm planning on staying here until next year.
Now, the cool thing is you get to meet other people in the food space that you probably haven't met before, or you get more time and more face time, right? It's a great collaborative thing.
It's very, very true. I think there's a camaraderie in the world of the food industry here in San Diego, not just the chefs, but anybody in it, really, that is unique. I really feel that. I co-founded an organization called Cooks Confab. And it's just a group of chefs that we originally were, a drinking club with a cooking problem, and then we decided that we decided that that we were onto something, and during the course of serving all these meals, that we could actually bring a valuable message of sustainability to eating off cuts of meat and things like that. And before they knew it, they had a message.
And the local sustainable. it's not about marketing, but more about education.
Mm-hmm.
People are so far removed from where their food comes from, and you know, the our government and agribusiness tries to push to a centralized food system,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly the opposite of what the chefs are supporting and what we're doing.
Heaven, you know, we're definitely raising the awareness on this whole subject matter. Aren't more people more interested in this now than ever? I mean, I'm kind of, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I've been in this industry 30 years, I've never, ever had more people interested in what it is and where it came from. So, mm-hmm. I mean, its time has come. You know, I know Tommy was on just before us, and mm-hmm. But I've been pushing that sustainable seafood boat for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sat there and said, you know, with education, as Jack mentions, you know, we can make a difference. We can change. But, mm-hmm. you know, internally, even though I was preaching this, I didn't believe it. I didn't. I felt that nobody cared. No one was listening. And when I saw a quantum shift, not even a quantum shift, but, you know, light at the end of the tunnel or a door opening, mm-hmm. where it really is in the forefront of people's minds and mm-hmm. You know, their plate, and I really feel that we are right at that tipping edge of where, you know, society as a whole says, you know, I don't want Monsanto in my life. I don't want that corn. I don't want that kind of lifestyle, this industrial kind of production and so forth.
Pesticides not a flavor additive.
No, it isn't. And that, you know, when you read, it's all natural.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. So eat organic. And if you're worried about things like Proposition 37 not passing, which I'm not even get into that, you know, but $45 million does make a difference,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, buy organic, because that in and of itself is something
we'll
that
get there,
have,
though. It's a movement.
Yeah. It's like cigarettes, you know. I mean, same thing happened.
Locally and just shopping locally, going to farmers markets, local farmers markets, that makes a huge difference right
mm-hmm.
there. It's know your farmer. Michael Pollan, who's written over a dozen books, you know, he has a great pragmatic approach to making steps that make a difference and knowing where your food comes from
mm-hmm.
and understanding what food labels are. If you pick up something, you know, a tenderloin at the store and it says country of origin, U.S., Mexico, and China, put it back down.
Well traveled.
If it was a tenderloin, it'd be stuck together with meat glue.
Exactly. Or you it's in, you know, food. So much food is designed to be packaged and for uniformity, not for its consumption.
But the farmers markets bring communities together, too, which is a great
thing.
But unfortunately,
we've got to take a break.
Yeah, we've got to take a break. Thank you so much, gentlemen. We're going to do a whole hour with you guys when we get over to the La Valencia. But thanks for being on. We'll be right back with It's Your Money and Your Life after this. All right, we're back in the home stretch for It's Your Money and Your Life. And we have two big names in the world of organic farming in San Diego. Lucila de Alejandro, she's the owner and head weed puller of Susie's Organic Farm. And Bill Brammer, who's the owner and manager of B-Wise Ranch. And it's San Diego's longest running organic farm. And they're going to discuss the importance of community. So where is your ranch, Bill?
We're in the San Pasqual Valley. We lease land in the agricultural preserve in San Pasqual Valley.
Wow, near Wild Animal Park. Ever have any exotic animals fly into your farm?
Joe, you've got an exotic dog sitting right behind your head there.
Oh,
did you know that? That's Monty.
But
Bill, you were one of the first farmers in San Diego to really go organic, right? I mean, you've been doing this for many, many years.
Yeah,
what got you interested in that?
We started back in 1977, you know, reading Silent Spring and mm-hmm. just thinking about the hazards of pesticides. And initially, I was a very small farm doing most of the work myself, and I really didn't want to use them. And we were able to be successful with just doing organic.
That's a great story.
That's super.
Because, like we were saying in the last segment, pesticide isn't supposed to be on the list of things that are that's in your food.
And Lucila, and so you're in San Pasqual Valley. Lucila, you're down in South Bay?
Yes, we're south of Imperial Beach. We're 3 miles north of the border and about 2.5 miles west of the east of the ocean.
And what do you both raise? What would you say are your most popular crops or things that you raise?
We do heirloom tomatoes and strawberries for some of the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods around the country. And then we have a big CSA with about 3,000 members. And for that, we have a very diverse section of, you know, spring mix, carrots, beets, whatever's in season.
Wow.
So for that, we grow you know, 50 or 60 probably different varieties of vegetables and fruit.
How about you, Lucia? That's
Susie's great. Farm, we grow over 100 different varieties of fruits and vegetables to fill our CSA as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But you're about 140 acres, right? You're huge.
Yes. We 4 years ago at this time, we only had 1 acre.
Okay.
And so in 4 years, we have grown to 140, and that's really because it's what the community wants. So we have fulfilled that need for them.
Have you both seen this Real Dirt on Farmer John? I love that document. Have you not seen that? Oh, apparently the guy outside of Chicago, you have to get that. Real Dirt on Farmer John. Yeah, it's a great film.
I have not seen it either.
You haven't?
No.
We're going to have an event.
Film party here. Bill and Michelle's house, movie night.
We've seen it here before, and the folks here have liked it. So, but give us your impression of what's going on tonight. Is this your first night here, first time at this party?
We've actually gone to all four of them.
All four?
It's been interesting, the whole progression of when it started and now. And it's just a very exciting evening and, quite a treat to be able to see. This was actually one of my motivations for getting farming. The university was selling off these lots up here in La Jolla back in the mid-70s. And so I figured I would bid on one of these because they were going for about $100,000 a piece. And then, now he developed this, beautiful organic farm. And luckily I found 20 acres, out in the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. That was a much better investment than this one. I mean, for farming, not investment-wise, this would have been a much better
investment. Yeah, it's got slightly better view.
A little bit better view.
But Bill and Michelle, I mean, when they bought this, I'm sure all these lush gardens weren't here.
Oh, no, he developed all this. It's an unbelievable garden.
Yeah, I mean, folks that who are listening, I mean, everyone who comes to this dinner, they get a little baskets, and they go out and pick all the berries, and a lot of it winds up in one of the courses. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, is this your first time here?
It is my first time. We've been invited all 4 years, and the first year we couldn't understand what they were asking of us. We thought they wanted us to donate food for the event, and so we said yes, we'll donate. And then they said you were going to come, and we thought, do you want us to speak? We couldn't figure it out, and through a course of events, this is our first time, and we're very honored to be here.
And of course, you want to come again, right?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
maybe even stay for the whole year. Right?
So, Lucilla, you made the point that the community that you serve is really the reason why you've grown from 1 acre to 140. What I love about this whole sustainable movement is it really is it's a community movement. It gets people, and the farmers markets do this as well. They get people to actually come up, not only appreciate their farmers, but appreciate their neighbors and learn about who it is they live with.
Well, and more than that, it's appreciating yourself. And it's a little bit of what Bill said, which is you read a book or you get some information, and then you start to think a little bit more deeply about yourself, and you think to yourself, what am I putting in my body? What am I ingesting? The pesticides do go into your body, and they're poison, and you wouldn't drink bleach, so why consume that if you don't have to?
Yeah, I mean, it's great stuff. But just the whole spirit of collaboration that this movement
Are you a little concerned about the bee colony collapse at all, or?
If you don't have bees, you don't have food.
Right.
So the only thing that we can do is make it hospitable for them.
Is that happening in San Diego at all, or is that some other places?
I think it is happening. I mean, we have beehives on our property that somebody runs, and he's he does seem to lose a little bit every year, but, I think so far he's been successful.
Joe, we got to take a quick break because we've got one more guest, and so we're taking a break at an odd time.
One more special guest, so stay tuned. Thank you so
much.
Thanks so much. See you, Bill. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll come right back after this. Hang on.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nick Jonas. My diabetes tests me every day. It tests my patience, my time, and my outlook. But JDRF has my back, working day and night on a cure that will stop type 1 diabetes in its tracks. JDRF helps relieve the burden of type 1 diabetes with meaningful advances that make it easier to deal with this disease. The folks at JDRF test themselves every day, so someday I won't have to. JDRF, improving lives and curing type 1 diabetes. Your help is our hope. Go to JDRF.org.
Mike Slater here to remind you to call Point Loma Electric for all of your electrical needs. Jim Dent and his skilled team of electricians are the older home specialists. Call them now, 619-224-0672. Or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
The new tax deal means that affluent clients could face a combined tax rate of more than 50%. Call Doug Jennings to design a strategy now to cut your taxes in half by the end of the year. Call 858-457-1224 for your complimentary consultation.
Now, it's your money and your life on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with the last minute and a half or so of our show. We were going to have a very special guest, Sam the Cooking Guy, who has a show on KFMB on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., 7:60, of course. And he must be out there and, you know.
Well, he rarely gets a chance to eat. Usually he has to cook.
I think he's stuck in the berry gardens, or maybe they're cooking Sam. He is Sam the Cooking Guy after all, but... Anyway, Lucila, do you have any closing thoughts about where we're going with sustainability, or anything you'd like to say to maybe inspire people out there? Or?
I think it's just really important for people to think deeply about what it is that they're doing for themselves and realize that the care that you give to yourself ends up translating and caring for the rest of your community. So it's just very important to be thoughtful.
Yeah, but it's just so great that, you know, there's more awareness being raised about all this. But anyway, let's thank all our guests. Richard, what do you say? Michelle Lirac and Michelle Ciccarelli Lirac and Bill Lirac, thank you so much for hosting this fourth annual.
Yeah, I mean, just thanks for putting up with us in your living room, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
I mean, hosting 200 people and having us hanging around.
And all the great guests. You know, we'll put all the websites and everything on our website, iymoney.com. Get over there. See.
We'll put everybody up, Joe, on our website.
You got it.
Absolutely.
You got it. So, anyway, thanks to Dave Sniff, our program genius, who's here tonight. And thanks to Dan Noonan, studio board operator. And thanks to Craig Blanke. You have a great week, everybody. Eat well, be well, and we'll see you next time from the La Vie, right, Richard?
We'll be there next week.
La Valencia. Take care. Okay, good night. Take care, everybody.